Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Thursday. Hope everybody's having a good day and practicing social distancing like we are. We are in our homes. Elijah is back at our Hosel Link Studios, powered by Rumble On, and Terry McCormick from Titan Insider joins us via the telephone. Terry, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. I guess about as well as could be expected under these circumstances.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We just had a really good conversation with Dennis Kelly, who just signed a new deal with the Titans. And we were talking with him, about what he thinks his future is with the Titans, as in that position full time. We were talking about that, kind of tossing that around in the last segment. Do you believe that indeed that this is their option for Jack Conklin, that Dennis Kelly is going to move into the full-time role for the first time in his career?
I think he's going to get the first shot at it. Now, that said, because they really only have two tackles on the roster of any measure, that being Dennis Kelly and Taylor Lewan, they'll probably reach into the draft somewhere, maybe second, third, fourth round, and get somebody just as a little bit of insurance. But I think that Dennis Kelly's going to get the first crack at it. But I wouldn't rule out that there might be a little bit of competition from the draft.
We're going down to Atlanta to kick off the next hour and find out from Chris Domino how he feels about the Vic Beasley signing. How do you feel about the Vic Beasley signing?
I think it's good from the standpoint that there's not a lot of money or length of time invested in it. I think, Beasley has a reputation, I guess, a little bit as an underachiever in some people's minds, never really following up with that 15.5 sack season he had a few years ago. And in my mind, I think the Titans are taking a good calculated risk here, because if it doesn't work out, they can move on after 1 year. If it does, you can do like Ryan Tannehill and put down some roots here and be here for the next 2, 3, 4 years.
Yes, but as I said yesterday, so here's a guy who's got has been labeled. And the only way you're going to get off the label is prove it. So, but he's on a prove it deal. And so what if he responds to a prove it deal? Are you then prepared to turn around and give the guy who's been labeled as a classic underachiever, not living up to the draft pick, has all kinds of potential, hasn't done it on a consistent basis, then you're going to give him a long-term deal and reward him with big bucks?
Well, I think it's a calculated risk, and I think if you're the Titans, I'll just say this. I think if you're the Titans, you'd like to be in that position to have to make that decision, because that
sure
means he's been productive for you, and he's helped your team probably make a pretty deep playoff push. So in that regard, I think that's where John Robinson and the Titans are on this front. And if things don't work out, if they feel like that, he's had a big year, but he's doing it on a contract year, you can always let him walk and, go after the next guy or something like that. So I think it's set up as a win-win for the Titans. And it also probably doesn't hurt that, much like Ryan Tannehill, Vic Beasley has the same representation that John Robinson does. So he's doing Vic Beasley a favor. He's hoping Vic Beasley will do him a favor as well.
What was your shock meter like yesterday when you learned that Jarrell Casey had been shipped to Denver?
I'd say pretty shocked. I think a lot of people were. And, probably the biggest part of it is what they got in return. And when you look at it, it's obvious that it's a salary cap move. It's a move to get some cap space, some relief, about $10, $11 million worth, that sort of thing. And you wonder what they're going to do with that cap space. Are they going to turn around and make an offer to a Jadeveon Clowney? Are they going to try to extend Derrick Henry rather than have him play on the franchise tag? Are they going to go try to re-sign Logan Ryan at cornerback? They've got some options here that they didn't have. But to lose a guy like Jarrell Casey, not only does it hurt you on the field with what he's capable of doing, a five-time Pro Bowler, a guy who's been a fixture here since 2011. Think about all the leadership that's walked out of this locker room in the offseason. Jarrell Casey, Delanie Walker, Wesley Woodyard, possibly Logan Ryan. you're really down to just a couple of guys, two or three guys, who have that leadership quality to rally this locker room. You're talking about Kevin Byard, Ben Jones, maybe one or two others, Derrick Henry. But you're really starting to get thin in the leadership department, and you're wondering, as you get younger, who is this team going to rally around?
I'll tell you what, Terry, it's a really good question. And if you had to answer that, right, knowing what we know, and as you said, it remains to be seen what happens with somebody like a Logan Ryan, but who would you say would be the leadership group as it stands now among the veterans? Because I do think it's something that is valued by John Robinson. It's valued by Mike Vrabel. You hope that others can grow into those roles, but who would be the candidates?
Well, I think it's probably the people that you've invested the big money in. You know, I mean, you don't necessarily want to put it all on money, but you know that Kevin Byard is a core guy. You know he's one of the core people in your core. You know that, even though I don't know that he has the leadership personality that you normally peg with that, because he's a free-spirited type of guy, but Taylor Lewan's going to have to be a leader. Ben Jones is going to have to be a leader. Ryan Tannehill, being your quarterback, is going to have to step in and be a leader. So, you know, there are some guys there. You know, Vrabel raved about Derrick Henry's leadership role that they grew into last year. So there are a lot of guys that are going to have to step up and fill that void.
Terry, I do want to know, as somebody that I'm sure was very interested at the time, we had some fun with this the other day, and I'm anxious to see what is coming in the coming days. We know we're in an era now in the next several weeks where we're going to see a lot of replays of classic games. Did you catch any of the Pine Tar game the other night on MLB Network? They showed it a couple of times in its entirety, the George Brett homer off of Goose Gosses. It was really compelling to me to see. Where were you for the Pine Tar game?
Wow. I did not get to see the replay. I remember just hearing about it and seeing it, you know, on the replay and things like that. It's just amazing to see, you know, George Brett just lose his mind. And then the cold calculatedness of Billy Martin knowing the rule and bringing it to the umpire's attention to cause the whole thing. It's, you know, just pretty amazing when you look back on it.
We're talking to Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. So going back to the cap space, we know that it's usually about $8 million that you have to set aside for the draft. And there are, you know, positions of need, whether it's cornerback or another offensive lineman, another pass rusher. But with all the cap space that they now have, do you think that could open the door more for Logan Ryan, or is there a trade? What in your mind do you think it is?
Well, I've learned that you never say never with John Robinson. You know, Logan Ryan might be a possibility. You know, it seems like that he's not found very many suitors, at least here in the early going of free agency. You know, the thing with Jadeveon Clowney, you know, if his asking price comes down, it might be an option for them, because Mike Vrabel has a history with him, having coached him in the past in Houston. As far as what else they might need, I think you might see them go get a couple of guys who maybe are not stars, but guys who can fill in on special teams and be backups and maybe compete for a starting spot. They've got several different areas that they can go as they start to enter the low-budget phase of free agency, which will probably start next week.
What do you think is going to happen more on the Derrick Henry front? I mean, we know he's been franchise tag, and look, with this cap, you know, a lot of people have said, well, they're clearing cap space for him. Well, there's not really going to – the $10 million, pretty much you can already factor that in there, or whatever it is for the franchise tag. But do you think we get a long-term deal at some point before training camp?
I'd say it's about 50-50, and that's just my opinion. I don't know have anything really to base that on. I think the thing that you run into with the franchise tag is a guy holding out. And I know that everybody points to Derrick Henry being a workout warrior and doing all the things that he needs to be in the right kind of shape. But there is a difference in football shape and workout shape. And if he doesn't show up until right before the first game – you run the risk that he's going to pull a hamstring or a calf injury or something like that that could set him back. We've seen it numerous times, guys who hold out during the offseason and stay away because of the franchise tag wind up getting hurt, that sort of thing. But I think it would benefit the Titans and Derrick Henry both if they could somehow come to some sort of resolution that would pay Derrick Henry some of, you know, what he's earned for past performance and what they feel like he can give them over the next 2 to 3 years before he, you know, running backs inevitably start to decline. And also it would benefit the Titans because they know that they would have a healthy, happy Derrick Henry who would be around for all the offseason program whenever that starts.
What do you think the market is for Delanie Walker?
Saw something yesterday that was put out there that he was drawing some interest from, I think, the Redskins, the Colts, and the Packers. To me, if I'm looking at those three options, I'm crossing the Redskins off the list because I think they're dysfunctional and not a contender. If I'm Delanie Walker, I'm looking at a chance to have another shot at a Super Bowl. And so I think the Colts adding Phillip Rivers would be a nice touch because it looks like they're going to move on from Eric Ebron. The Packers lost Jimmy Graham. I think Delanie Walker would be a good fit there. So if he winds up at one of those two spots, I think you'll see Delanie Walker maybe in a more limited role than what he had here. If he can stay healthy, could be a productive guy working with a good quarterback.
Terry, last thing, do you really believe this team is going into training camp with Logan Woodside as the backup to Ryan Tannehill, or do you think they're going to look for a veteran guy?
I think they're going to have to look for somebody. You know, with all due respect to Logan Woodside, I can't imagine that if you've got a team that you feel like is a solid Super Bowl contender, you know, went to the AFC Championship game last year, one step away from reaching the Super Bowl, that if something were to happen to Ryan Tannehill, if he were to sprain an ankle and miss 2 or 3 games, that you would trust an untested Logan Woodside to be your guy to get you through that stretch. I think you have to go get somebody. I would let the market settle down and just see. Who knows? Maybe a guy like Jameis Winston or Andy Dalton comes at a reasonable price, or you know, somebody mentioned Joe Flacco possibly getting cut as an option as well. So there's going to be some veteran options out there. And then the other thing too that you can't rule out, they won't do it in the first round, but if there's a developmental quarterback that could be had in round 2 or 3, why not take a look at that route? You know, if you could get a guy like Jake Fromm in the second round, that'd be a decent developmental guy down the road for when you're ready to move on from Ryan Tannehill.
Yep. By the way, the Broncos have waived Joe Flacco, and I guess it's their reports are out there just coming out, literally, as we were talking about, a failed physical. So I don't know what that means for Joe Flacco moving forward. I don't know if that means that's the end of the line for him or what. I think he would be intriguing if he was healthy and upright, but I don't know if that's the case or not. Terry, appreciate it as always.
It's weird to me that he can fail the physical when there's not supposed to be any contact with anyone.
Yeah, that is a little bit strange. Hey, thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, sounds good. Thanks.
Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. We'll come back and wrap up the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase next.